What's your name, please?
Hans, Bo Hans. H-A-N-S-S.
Bo Hans, okay. Thank you.
My number is 2940.
Thank you. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing. And this is concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant, sir. You were notified about this hearing on February 5th, and you signed a form that day. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that I wanted this interview with the parole board.
Yes, it's that form. On that form is a list of your hearing rights. And one of those is that you could hire at your expense an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So did you hire an attorney today, sir, or will you represent yourself?
I'll represent myself.
Okay, that's just fine. Most people do. I'd like to introduce you to the board. If you look on the video screen to your right, so my left, at the other end, is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. My name's Gail Rittenhouse, and I will conduct your hearing today. We also have in the room, there he is now, the Honorable Mr. Turner from Department of Corrections. He is a parole officer who will represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. Okay, sir?
Okay.
So before we get started, I need to swear the both of you in. So Mr. Hunts and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God and do you so affirm. Mr. Hunts?
Yes, I do.
And Mr. Turner?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Hunts, your hearing will be conducted in two phases. With phase one, to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision. And then phase two, to determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So for phase one, sir, I'm going to read this allegation to you, and I'll need you to respond whether it's true or false. So, the allegation is that you were in violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to establish residence at Vivray, 2501 West Elm in Phoenix, on or about January 11th, 2019, as verbally directed on January 11th, 2019. Your whereabouts were unknown unless you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Hunts, is that true or false?
False.
That's false? Okay, Mr. Hunts, since you said that is false, I'm going to take some testimony from Mr. Turner. And Mr. Turner, please.
Yes, ma'am. Allegation number one. On 1/11/19, the offender signed conditions and was directed by Parole Officer Prince to establish residency at Vivray, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85017. The offender failed to establish residency. The offender's whereabouts are unknown, thus he is an absconder from supervision. Follow-up. On 1/11/2019, this officer contacted the director of Vivray and he stated the offender never established residency at Vivray, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, 85017. On 1/18/19, P.O. Prince contacted the Maricopa County Jail and Hospital, and neither place had the offender name in their system.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. So, Mr. Hunts, what's false?
Well, the truth of the matter is, my parole officer, Brian Craig, sent me to Phoenix, and I went there, reported to Officer Prince, and went to that place. You have an address on Elm Street.
Uh-huh.
It took like 3 hours to find the place, but I found it, knocked on the door, and you know, reported for this halfway, and that guy that lived there, Mason, he knew nothing about any halfway house. So I convinced him to use his phone to call the Mr. Prince and explain that I'm there, ready to do what I was told. And he had no idea about any, how do you call it, halfway house.
Mr. Turner? Mr. Turner can look in your computer record, so we'll look at that now and see if...
There is no documentation in contact with the parole officer or any parole officer after the intake that was done on 111 where he was directed to establish and maintain residency at Vivray.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. So, Mr. Hunts, you said you spoke with someone named Mason?
Yeah, the man that lived at that house on Elm Street.
At 2501 West Elm.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you contacted your parole officer, you, where'd you go?
I tried to go back to Mr. Prince's office, but I couldn't find the place. I mean, I was lost in the field. It's such a big place.
Okay, sir.
But I explained to both parole officers that I have a DUI case in Mojave County. And Prince says, well, you got to just do what you got to do. So I took that as an okay to go back to Mojave County, Kingman, and handle that DUI case.
Okay, sir. Well, I'm going to move this hearing to phase two. I'm going to make a motion and move this hearing around. It's a process we have to follow. And then we can talk with you some more in phase two. But as for phase one, based on information provided by Mr. Turner with Department of Corrections, I'm going to move to find Mr. Hans delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of the supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed in the criminal ways of company.
Second.
Agreed.
All right. Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Noel Green, Mr. Quinones. Okay. Mr. Hans, we'll move into phase two of your hearing, which is probably the more important part to you, which is whether your supervision will be reinstated or revoked. So. And you'll be able to tell the board anything you want to tell us at this point, but I'm going to start by asking Mr. Turner to fill us in with background information. So just stay on the phone. We'll be right back to talk with you in just a moment. Mr. Turner.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Hans was released from ADC custody on 11/16/2018 and arrested on 1/28/2019 by ADC for all on tech violations.
And Mr. Turner, can I ask just one? This says on January 11th, 2019, he was released. This warrant.
I think the confusion is that he was released to a detainer.
So maybe he was originally released to a detainer?
I think he was released to a detainer. And then when he was released from that detainer.
So essentially it's that same day, that January 11th, that date that...
Yes. I'm showing that...
Mr. Hans, what day did you actually get released from prison? Do you remember about when?
18.
Yeah. Not
19. November
16th.
Did I say
19? No, you said. So November 16th of 18 is when you were released, sir?
Yes.
And is that when you did your intake with your parole officer or no? Not yet.
They dropped me off at Mojave County Jail for this DUI.
Okay. Gotcha. Got it. Okay, so now I'm starting to follow here. Sorry, Mr. Turner.
Okay. That's okay.
As you were there, continue.
Okay.
Thank you.
He was arrested by ADC parole on a tech violation. No new charges were noted. He was returned back to ADC custody on 1/29/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 10/4/2019 with 17 abscond days. Current conviction, 2013. Burglary, third degree, 6 years. He has no prior convictions. This is his first term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3-1. Mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 2. No STG information noted, no prior terms on supervision. Disciplinary is minimal. Other arrests, 1989, stolen property, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1990, controlled substance violation, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1992, controlled substance violation, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1993, controlled substance violation, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1993, misconduct involving weapons, California, felony conviction, state prison. 1995, controlled substance violation, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2000, controlled substance violation, California, felony conviction, state prison. 2006, forgery, California, felony conviction, state prison. He has a GB score of G3, B3.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. So, Mr. Hunts, we have a very, very brief summary of what occurred while you were out. And it looks like you were released on January 11th to go, or you were approved to go live at Vivre. But it sounds like you were already out. You were up in Mojave County dealing with this DUI thing?
Yes.
So you came back to Phoenix on the 11th? Was that how it worked?
Went to Phoenix to report to the field patrol officer, Prince.
Okay.
I found a halfway house on Elm Street, but like I said, the guy who lives there, Mr. Mason, knew nothing about any halfway house.
Well, he didn't know you were there, that you were supposed to be there, or that wasn't the halfway house at 2501 West Elm?
That was not the halfway house, no. He even was so good as to call Mr. Prince and explain to him.
Did you possibly go to 2501 East Elm or something? Or
no, I searched that whole area. There was no other Elm Street anywhere there.
Okay.
Can I explain something about this case that I'm here for?
Yeah, please do. Please do.
This burglary charge of stealing my own truck out of an impound yard up there in Payment. During direct appeal, my public defender, Jill Evans, pointed out the fact that you cannot steal your own property, and the charge should have been a misdemeanor trespass. So armed with that, I tried to negotiate with the trial judge, Mr. Khan, that I would, if he would reverse the burglary of my own truck, and in exchange for the misdemeanor trespass, I'd do it, but evidently he retired or something, so that didn't work.
Okay. All right, so you say you did try to contact your parole officer, although there's no, when a contact is made, parole officers make a documentation in the system, and there's no notation that you tried.
Are we talking about
Prince?
Ryan Clark?
To try to call Prince.
I just went in to report like I was supposed to do. He didn't even try to help me in any fashion.
Okay, so it looks like...
I should mention...
Yes, go ahead.
While I was there, I was talking to him, because I have some inside information on two murders and a bunch of stolen assault rifles. And when he called in an agent from the Magnet Force, I think that stands for Mojave Area Gang and Narcotic Enforcement Task Force. So I told him the whole story, how I came about that information and what we should do about it. Because murder is a very serious thing.
Okay, all right, so you were able to pass along.
If you guys are up to it, you can contact Mr. Clark, Brian Clark. And he'll put you in touch with the task force guy. He'll share that information with you.
Okay. Well, this hearing today is really not about that, and it's unfortunately it's not about your original crime. It's just about what occurred while you were on supervision. So, I'm just interested. We you're the first person, honestly, that's ever not been able to find Vivre. And I'm just baffled by that.
Well, with the map they provided, I found the place that the map showed. It's not my fault that the place wasn't the right place.
Okay, so I'm going to see if fellow board members have questions for you. Okay, so we're coming up toward the end of your hearing. But I want to give you the chance to make a final statement if there's anything else that you wanted the board to consider.
Yeah, Yeah. If you guys can discharge this parole, that would give me the opportunity to find a federal prosecutor and bring down the Vago murdering individuals that are just, they're all into violence.
Okay, sir. The board is going to go into discussion, sir, and we do have discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law, so the three of us have not talked about your case before right now. So we just ask you to stay on the phone, remain silent, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes.
The board's now in discussion. This is a kind of a puzzling case because I've just not experienced that an inmate went to Vivray and then was told by somebody there that that was not Vivray. I'm very puzzled by that. And that this was not a halfway house with that address. And that's been their address since I've been on the board anyway. So I'm very puzzled about that. And there's no documentation to indicate that he had contacted anyone. At this point, just based on that confusion, I am not seeing Mr. Hans as a good candidate for community supervision, but I would listen to any input from fellow board members. Okay, thank you. Based on information in warrant 2019W230, then, our conversation with Mr. Hans, information from Mr. Turner, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Hans was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or company, specifically by absconding for 17 days, during which time his parole officer could not monitor his activities.
Second.
Agreed.
Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Neal. Agreed, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Hans, the board, you have the discussion. The board has voted to revoke your community supervision, sir. We're showing a release date for you of October 4th, and at that point, you'll be out. You won't have to community supervision to worry about. You would just be free to go back to Kingman, and we hope to never see you in Orange again, sir. Thank you for participating in your hearing today. Your hearing's over. If you just let the CO3 know that you're finished, maybe give the phone back to her, and we'll talk with her for just a moment. Thank you, sir.